Nina Alexandria. No need to worry. The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
This is BJ, and I would like to welcome you to our show, Just Stuff. This show is about ordinary people just like you, just like me, combining our efforts in a positive way to make our community better, one day at a time, through conversation, encouragement, resources, empowerment, and just plain talk. Remember, you are the best part of this show.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. God bless you and praise God for another day, another day's journey. And we bless him for the new mercies that he has given us today. What a mighty God we serve. I am your host, your guest host this morning, sitting in for Sister BJ. I thank her for her graciousness and allowing me to sit in and be with you for the next few minutes. God bless each of you. I'm Reverend E. June Addison, and I thank God for the opportunity to come and be with you and learn from the Word of God. Amen. So this morning, it's a very interesting, I think I say that all the time, it's always interesting. God's Word's always rich, but it's a very interesting word this morning that we're going to be talking about. And I pray and lift you up wherever you are, you and your family and all those, amen, in your household. If you will go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I just bless all those that listen to the program, to the ministry, your words of encouragement certainly has been a blessing. So your Bible, pencil, and pen, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to read verses 1 through 4 and then verse 11. Let's take a look at what Paul is telling us this morning. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scripture. Let's go to verse 11. Therefore, whether it were I or they, meaning the disciples, so we preach, and so ye believe. This morning, the Lord is calling our attention to, do you still believe what you first received? Oh, hallelujah. And what he wants us to focus on, what the Lord wants us to focus on, is that he, in these last days, God is examining our faith, and is our faith still standing in what we believe about Jesus Christ according to the scriptures? It's so awesome. We have many voices in the world, many modems of various doctrines and dogma and misinformation and all of those voices in the world. But God today is examining our faith to search our faith, to find our steadfastness in what we believe that we first received. When you first heard the gospel, when you first recognized that the Holy Spirit was drawing you to the Lord Jesus, when you first fell in love with Jesus, oh my God, right there. Ooh. When you first recognized that you had a need for Jesus and only he could fix it for you, when you first believe what the preacher or speaker or minister or evangelist was saying to you, and your heart turned toward Jesus Christ, that you would come to the Father God and believe and commit and confess and profess what you first believe for the rest of your life. You became determined, Lord God, I'm going to walk with you for the rest of my life. I give you my life, Father. God is examining our faith that it is and do remain steadfast in what we first heard and what we do believe about Jesus Christ and the gospel. You know, that word steadfast, it is a military term, and it means to be firm and unwavering, firmly fixed in place, direction and purpose. Steadfast means, also means, not subject to change in belief. Oh, my brothers and sisters, I know you may be saying this morning, Reverend Addison, I'm firm, I'm fixed, I'm steadfast in the Lord. My brothers and sisters, take heed to yourself. Take heed to yourself that you are steadfast and standing. Take heed to yourself that you are not moving or being moved, hallelujah, away from the true gospel of Jesus Christ. So many orators out there, pastors, preachers who have mastered the craft of oration, mastered the craft of expounding on the word, mastered the craft of bringing the scriptures to life. So many Bible and scriptural translations out there that we must be mindful who we're listening to, what we are reading, and that it does not take us away from what we first believed about the gospel. Oh, hallelujah. What we first believed about who God is, who Jesus is, and that he did live. He suffered. He went to Calvary on a hill called Golgotha. He did hang on the cross, impaled hand and feet with nails. Oh, my brothers and sisters, he did give up the ghost for our sin. You know, the Bible says that the angels look into the fact that we were redeemed, that we are redeemed creation of God. Oh, my. So that Jesus didn't die for himself, for the angels, for any other being but you and I, for our sins, the sins of the world. So, my brothers and sisters, do you still believe in that fullness of the gospel that once Joseph took him down off the cross and wrapped him in linen and brought him into a new tomb, that he did stay there 3 days, as he said. And on that third day, by the power of the Spirit of God, he rose, he was resurrected from the dead and came out of that tomb and was seen of witnesses, over 500 witnesses. He remained after his resurrection, and there were witnesses to his resurrection before he went to Mount Olivet, and his disciples were gathered there, and he gave them what we know as the Great Commission. He ascended to the Father God, hallelujah. And right now, this very second, he's seated at the right hand of God. Ever and continually interceding for us down here in the earth. Do you still believe that? Are you standing on that? Are you steadfast in that? Because everything else we believe or hear about the gospel and from the scriptures is foundational to what the gospel says about Jesus Christ. That's how you, when you believe and stand firm on the gospel, that's how you know you're not hearing the gospel truth when you hear it. Because you know the truth and you're standing firm on it. It's like counterfeit money. I understand that in FBI training as well as our local Alexandria Regional Training Police Academy, they teach about how to recognize counterfeit money. Well, you really know counterfeit because you've studied the real dollar bill. You studied the real, what is real. And that's how we must stand firm on the gospel. We have studied the true gospel so much that we can recognize the counterfeit gospel. Hallelujah. We can recognize the false teachings. Hallelujah. We can recognize error of scripture when we know it because we've so studied the true scriptures, the true gospel. We've rightly divided the word of truth. Paul is encouraging the church to be steadfast to what they first heard and did receive about the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, it cost Paul and the disciples their very lives to go and fulfill the Great Commission. You know, we like to say that in the church today. You know, the Great Commission. Yes. It is a great commission. We have been, as believers and followers of Jesus Christ, we've been commissioned to go into all the world to preach and teach all nations the true gospel about Christ. Realizing it will cost to be a Christian in Christ. And when Paul was talking to these saints, to the church in all of the region, but in particular to Corinth, he spent his life ensuring the gospel of Christ was accurate. Paul could speak from experience that what he was speaking was the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, according to the scripture, according to what Paul first received, and we know he first received on that Damascus road and went on into the city of Damascus and was in prayer when Ananias came to him and restored him. And from that moment, Paul ran on. He ran his race, and from Acts 9 all the way through 2 Timothy 4 and 6, Paul did not deviate from what he first received and believed and what was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost about Jesus. Oh, my brothers and sisters. My. That definitely takes us back to the old church, doesn't it? What we first received from the old saints, what we first believed that they told us and taught us and raised us up on. I think that's why I can't really ascribe to the saying nowadays that we can't raise our children like we were raised. My. I wish I could hang out right there, but for the sake of time. We can teach our children what we first received, which is what Paul is saying. What we first received and believe, we can teach our children. Why? Because those saints, our parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, oh my God, our ancestors, they brought us up on the scriptures. And we can teach them to our children. We may change methods. We may change how we deliver, but we don't deviate from the truth. Hallelujah. So Paul, from Acts 9 to 2 Timothy 4 and 6, he didn't deviate from what he first received and believed. And he would later go on to write, oh, my brothers and sisters, hallelujah, Jesus. He would go on to write Romans 8, for I am persuaded that neither death, life, angels, principalities, powers, or nor things present, nor things to come, not height, not depth, any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Paul was able to come to that place where he was fully persuaded, and that's where we must get today. We must be fully persuaded. It doesn't matter who's in the White House. It doesn't matter who's at war. It doesn't matter. Jesus already told us there would be wars, rumors of wars. There would be earthquakes in diverse places. We would experience famine, but Jesus said, don't be afraid. The end is not yet. We still must go through. We still must endure. There are some perilous times ahead, but when we are anchored in the Lord Jesus, according to the scriptures that's rightly divided, we are fixed. We are steadfast in what we have first received and believe. I love Paul because Paul would call out, and he was bold about calling out and correcting false teachings and false doctrines and men who promoted and who was teaching falsely to the believers and who was teaching contrary to the truth of the scriptures. Look at 1 Corinthians 1 and 23. 1 Corinthians 1 and 23. I love to read from the scripture and as I am preaching and teaching, because it is the word of God. And I want to show you in the word. Amen. 1 Corinthians 1 and 23a, that first part. But we preach Christ crucified. So many people, and the Bible does say that in the last days there will be, you know, people will have itchy ears. They'll want to hear a hyped message. They want to hear the orator put all the right words together, and they want to hear a good singer. They want to, you know, they want to hear the entertainment of the word. Oh, my brothers and sisters. But the same gospel, the same scriptures, the word remains the same. No matter how we dress it up, fix it up, the word remains the same. And Paul is saying, we don't preach anything different from what we first received. And that is, we received the gospel of Jesus Christ and that he was crucified. And we go on to tell the story of Christ crucified. Paul and the disciples were the ear and eye witnesses to Jesus' life on earth. They recorded their experience, and those records have stood through generations to get to us. They have stood through the test of time, through the scrutiny of theologians and scholars, through opposition. This Bible, and I pray that it's not on your coffee table collecting what we know as dust or it's just decoration. I pray, God, every day and night, this your book is cracked open and you sit before the word, that it is your sword that you carry daily at all times. Oh, my Jesus, my God, my God. Just a quick story. Young retired military young lady, she was talking, and she spoke about how they would have to be on this readiness that was called recognizance. Oh, my. And I asked her, I said, what does that mean? Because it caught my spirit. And she said, Pastor June, it means that at a given point in time, we are put on notice to be recognized, to be in recognizance. That means you are dressed down, ready. Everything you need to go to battle, you have right by you or on you. Oh, my Jesus. Does that sound like a Christian soldier? That we are ready at all times with the armor of God, the whole armor of God. Thank you, Second Evening Star, for the revival that was held on last week. Putting on the whole armor of God. Not part of it, not some of it. Not the parts that we like, not the part that we forgot to put on, but putting on the whole armor of God and ready with the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Oh, my brothers and sisters, and those that are potentially, that are listening, that will potentially receive Jesus Christ on this day as your Lord and your Savior. In this present world of misinformation, deception, lies, and corrupt character, even, I'll go here, Paul, even among the body of Christ. In this present world, the church must have an absolute resolve of what we believe. What we first receive, and we do believe, and we shall remain steadfast in it. Oh, my God, merciful Jesus, it is imperative that you and I hold fast to what we first heard and do believe about the gospel of Jesus Christ according to the scriptures. Is there anything, anyone that has or is influencing you to believe different from the gospel of Jesus Christ according to the scriptures? When we look at, I love this, when we look at 1 John, go with me to 1 John. This is something that believers should read every day, every day. 1 John chapter 1. This is the record that John wrote. Hallelujah. And I love this. Listen to what he said. That which was from the beginning. Many commentaries that they'll say either John was talking about Genesis 1:1, or he was talking about from the beginning that they knew Jesus coming down by the Sea of Galilee. Howbeit, it was from the beginning which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Oh, my God. How powerful. How awesome. How faith-sustaining, how faith-strengthening to hear that here is an ear, an eyewitness to the life of Jesus Christ on earth. Look at verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. Hallelujah, Jesus. Everything, and even Paul says what was written aforetime, Old Testament, was written for our learning. this book is more than just pages. This book, called the Bible, is more than just words on the page. It's our very life. God is asking us today, because there are many who are compromising, those who are falling away from the truth of the gospel. I shared recently that a relative brought up in church, from the mother's womb, brought up in church, and now that they're an adult, now that they're on their own and have their own thoughts, have their own opinion, have heard different and compromising and error of scripture, now that relative is telling the parents they're not doing the communion right. You know, we have people who have grew up in the church, and now all of a sudden they have a new understanding in error of the gospel of Jesus Christ, of the scriptures. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Even in the pulpit. It's not what it was. It's not what grandma said it was. Woo, my God, right there. I wish I could hang out. It's not what we heard grandma sing about. It's not what we heard our ancestors hope in and believe for. Oh, my brothers and sisters, but in this present world, we, the church, individually and collectively as the body of Christ, must have an absolute resolve of what we first heard about the gospel of Christ. We do now still believe and stand fast in what it says. It is imperative. Again, I'm saying we must hold fast to what we first believe, what we first heard. As 1 John tells us, we handle him, we touched him, and we're telling you what we've handled and touched and seen of Jesus Christ. We recorded it, we wrote it, and now it comes to us in the form of the Bible. God is examining our faith today. That when you look back at, when you look into Revelations, and he admonishes the church that they left their first love. Revelations 2 and 4. Are you still, oh my God, here we go. Are you still on fire for God? Are you still on fire for God? Or have you allowed some that as you praise and worship and tears roll down your face in the midst of the congregation, you've allowed people looking at you and seeing you, and you've toned down your worship. Oh, my God. You've toned down your, Jesus, right here. You've toned down your shout. Sometimes you take that shout back home with you. Oh, you shout at home. You shout in praise in the car. But what about in the congregation of the righteous? When we first saw those old saints shout throughout the church, I've seen them shout out their shoes. Hallelujah, Jesus. And what was so great about that, and what caught it caught fire in the church when they saw a sister or brother shout. They might not have known what they were shouting about, but they caught that shout and they shout right along with them. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Have we toned down? Have we muzzled the ox? Have we toned down our shout and our fire for God? Do we still have our first love for him? I want to just quickly tell you three areas that we must remain steadfast. Steadfast in the word. Steadfast in praying. Oh, yes, I shall pray, because I do believe and I know I've received that my God answers prayer. I believe his word is true. And then be steadfast in your relationship with Jesus Christ. God bless you today, as always.
God knew us a long time ago. He loved us enough to allow us to be born. He loved us enough to allow